more time. Sing it once more, all together. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Say, well, I don't feel any joy. That's right. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't care what my flesh got to say. I don't care what I feel like. It doesn't matter. There's a man on the inside that's got joy. That's got peace. That's got love. I don't got to go find it. It's like a river in my soul.
Amen. That's right.
Last I checked, I am a soul. I can't get away from it. That's what I am. So I got joy all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't like to say that a lot of people ain't here, because I like to say you all are here.
Right.
You know what I mean? I had one minister, I remember one time we visited a church, and he said something like, you know, nobody came today, so God brought all these visitors here. Well, there's still some people there from the church. I don't think nobody came. You know, I don't want to say that. Last I checked, there's about, you know, 18,000 worlds worth, or how much worth the souls leaving in this room. So I think that's worth time anyhow. Tell me all from the beginning. This is a big congregation we started with. So it's good to have each one of you here today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's just turn to the scriptures here. Let's turn to Philippians 2. I feel a different kind of a service this morning. It's one of them things that, you know, as a pastor, there's things you got to do. You don't want to do it, you got to do it. It's part of the job, and that goes with really any calling in life. If you do everything you want to in the calling you think God called you to, you're not doing what God called you to. You're doing something the devil called you to, because it ain't going to be pleasing all the time when we serve the Lord. You know, that's a part that gets kind of thrown out in the wash sometimes. Jesus said, you know, you will suffer persecution.
Right.
And if you don't, you know, you better say, woe is me, because that's what they did to false prophets. So we got to take it all. You know, we preached on that Wednesday night about the third bull and things, and part of that third bull is to preach to those that are lost. But if we're going to take, you know, speaking things into existence, we need to take that part too.
Right.
We got to take all the word, you know. It's not a 99% kind of thing. It's not the way God does things. Either we take it all, we believe it all, we stand for it all, or we might as well just be a Buddhist, you know. Go do something else. Don't waste your time. How many's willing to sell out for the word?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Well, praise the Lord. I'll speak on a few things here in a minute. Let's just read the scriptures here. Philippians chapter 2. And let's start just right in the first one. If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I think I'll just stop there. I don't know if I'm going to say all questions. I had one written down question, but I've had some questions brought verbally, and I've had concerns brought verbally and things, and I just felt at the time that, you know, I prayed about it, and maybe I could do this way. I was like, you know what, Lord, and in the end of the pray over it, let's just get it taken care of in one second. So there's not a lot here, or there's a lot of people here and stuff, and this is what I'm saying. This is one of those things that you have to do, you know, and I don't just look down the whole time, so I can just say what I believe. And that's what I have to do as a man. We have to do that as a church. But what is Paul saying here? There's one thing I desire, that we have the same mind. What's the same mind? That even if we disagree, even when I talk on today, even if we disagree on some of these things, that's not what our mind's about. Our mind's on Christ. It's on our mission as Christians. Let that'll fulfill my joy.
Yeah.
So as far as a text, I would say that. Fulfill my joy. That we all understand what we're doing.
Right.
You know. Amen. Let's take a moment to pray, and I'll explain some things here. But if you have a need, would you lift that up to the Lord? Fulfill our desire for and know His need again. He hears your heart. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for gathering the saints together this afternoon. We pray first for those that couldn't be here and wanted to. bless them today and help them. May there be a way for them to come to the house of the Lord next time. Lord, we pray that we redeem the time today, Lord, and that you'd be able to do in this service what you'd have planned for. We believe in the predestination of God. We believe, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love you, Lord, and we love you with all our heart. Lord, and things might not look right, might not go the way we see, but Lord, we're putting our faith and confidence in you alone. Yeah. Father, come, Lord, speak to every heart. If there be a need, Lord, and that's not even in my notes, not in my thoughts, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God would come and give the need of every heart that's here. Lord, your children, I can just see them out there. They want to eat the word, Lord, and I pray that Heavenly Father, you'll come and fill each one to the brim. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is probably the main church order service. I would say that this, I want to say before I get anywhere, this is only Brother Andrew. This is what I believe we're going to stand for here. This has, a lot of this isn't even, I can't say completely word-based. It's more of, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this? I don't mean any confusion there, but there are certain things in the Bible I can't say that it's right or wrong. Okay? Can you eat Fruity Pebbles? I don't know. Okay? And you'd be surprised how many times pastors put on the spot with those kind of questions and things, but the main thing I want to get across is that we're just here to be Christians. You know, we're going to work through some details of stuff that's happened, and as I believe your concerns that come, and the reason, you know, it might come from one, but I've learned as a teacher a lot of times that's other places too. They just didn't say nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a student, you all been in class before and had somebody ask the question, you're like, man, I was thinking the same thing, but you're just too afraid to say anything about it. We'll just take care of it all at once. You know, I believe in getting rid of confusion. You know, and if there's someone confused, chances are there's somebody else confused. If there's one that feels, well, I don't know why we're doing this, well, there's probably someone else had the same thought. We don't want that. We want to be one mind, one accord, all of ourselves, all our ideas out the window. We are here for one goal. We're not here. What did the Bible just say? They'll let nothing be done through vainglory. What's vainglory? Any glory outside of God's glory.
Amen.
Because it won't last.
Yeah.
It's vain. And if you lift up yourself, and we can do it, you can do it with this church. You can do it with yourself. You can do it with your family. You can do it with anything.
Right.
You can lift it up to a position that's not given.
Right.
We're not here to do that. What are we so supposed to do as Christians? Is lift everyone else up.
Amen.
That's the goal. And God help us. I've been there too. It's a tough thing to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially when you know that you're standing on the word. Somebody else might not be.
Right.
You've got to take the right attitude. What is the right attitude as a Christian? God help that person.
Yeah.
Amen.
Not God destroy that person. Not God, you know, let them know that I've got it right and they don't. That's not the goal. The goal is that we can, as God, he wanted to reconcile the world to himself.
Right.
He didn't want to cast anyone out. They chose to leave.
Right.
And I want it to be the same. You know, we all have the same mind that we want to be one in Christ.
Amen.
That we all want to serve God. Yeah. And if somebody leaves, that's because they didn't have that mind. Not because we pushed them out.
That's it. Amen.
Amen. So before I get anywhere, how many trust Brother Andrew loves y'all? Let's
Amen.
Just say it like that. Brother Andrew ain't trying to beat nobody up.
Right. Amen.
I just got questions. I had concerns. And I have to address those things. And I'm going to do that today. So this is going to be, this is questions and answers. We'll say it that way. This service might, like I said, it's going to be a little bit different. You might get a few little sermons in there like that. But as far as a common theme or something, not necessarily today. So is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. You know, maybe it is. This is probably the one service where maybe not having a lot of visitors is a good thing. Okay? I'll just say that because some of the concerns that were brought to me, I had some doctrinal things, and I'm okay with talking about doctrine. That's one I can stand on the word. That's a little bit different. You know, some of the other stuff, there was some general concerns. Let me just start this way. I knew I was forgetting something. Praise the Lord, I looked at her when I thought I did. In 2 weeks from now, remember, we're going to have Sunday school for the first time. Amen. Everybody? Be in prayer for that. Pray for Sister Violet and things, and I'm expecting great things. That'll start, remember, get your kids here at 11:30 at the latest. Let's get it in there. Let's get it started right, and let's, you know, that's the main thing. If you start it right, you need to keep it right. If it starts wrong, then you got to mess with stuff. Just start it right. Be on time. Let's get it going right. So that's in 2 weeks. All our students are gone besides the West family. But she brought a great idea, Sister West did this Wednesday, that I think it'd be, and remember, we're a new church, so I don't have all these ideas yet. You know, people ask, well, what do you guys do for Labor Day? We don't have a thing we do yet. We've only had two Labor Days, you know? We don't, so as far as starting the school year, I think it'd be really good. We'll take all the children that are going to school, bring them all together, and we'll all dedicate them to the Lord, because they've got a harder life there than we did. I mean, it's in public school or home school or whatever. It's still, it's different now than it was, even mine. You know, some of y'all think I'm young, but it's different from 10 years ago.
Right. Amen.
Oh, my. There's things that go on now that no way would have happened 10 years ago, but it's just the way sin is. It's exponentially grows. You know, it's just bigger and bigger before you know it. It can't go on much longer. That's the one hope we need to retain, that we are here to serve the Lord and we're going home.
Amen.
We're not trying to make reservations to stay here. We're trying to do everything we can to get on out.
Amen.
This place ain't worth living for no more. You know, if your house was rotten to the core and stumbled all over, and say, well, maybe we can do some repairs and stuff. No, there's a time where it's just time to trash it all and start fresh.
Amen.
Amen. The first concern that was brought to me is some of the fellowships that we do. We haven't really had an organized idea behind it, and I haven't really tried to, but it's kind of worked its way into that we do that pretty frequently. Well, if we're going to do that pretty frequently, and it is a church thing. Let me make sure I clarify that. If you're going to have some people over your house, you don't. That's not a church thing. You can do what you want to. Okay, you have your own home. You can do your own things. I'm not trying to say that. It's just that if we know that the whole church is going to go together somewhere, I think we should have some things established just so, you know, you get funny feelings. Well, they did this or they think that. Let's just push all that aside. Let's just get it done right. Okay? The first thing I like to do when... I haven't really talked in details with anyone besides, because I didn't know how to handle it. That's what I'm saying. Where's your scripture for it? You know, thus saith the Lord, this is how you do fellowship. Okay, that's not there. It's something that you just pray about. I just go with what I feel led to that would be the best. And I'm going to probably just, more than anything, my wife usually is the one that kind of gets it organized. And the main reason I do that is because I told her very plainly, I don't have any more time to organize things. I'm spent. Hey, I've got enough responsibilities to take care of. So I said, Ellie, just try to keep this as far as the food and things. Get that to where, you know, at least we can have a meal and have a good time. That's really what we're fellowshipping for, is not the fellowship to just to do it. I believe it's good for the children of God to be together.
Amen.
I think there's a lot of churches that would have been saved had they had a little bit more time together instead of time separate and thinking all kinds of evil against one another. That ain't none of it true.
Right.
Now, I'll say this too. We don't need to have fellowships every week. You know, you can warm your welcome sometimes. I'm not saying that just with me. I just mean in general. You know, if somebody comes over every day, eventually you're just like, well, I don't know if I want to see them today.
Right.
I'm just being honest today.
Right.
And the Bible says that too. You know, take your foot from your neighbor's door unless he be weary with you.
Yes.
So every once in a while we have a week where everybody just kind of does their own thing. I don't think we need to get all up in arms about it.
No.
You know, they do next. They don't like me. Don't do that. Don't think that. Just maybe sometimes just go home and sleep.
Right.
Let's rest on the Sabbath, you know.
Amen.
Let's take a time and get charged up for the week, you know. Maybe once in a while. But I do think when we have the opportunity that we should get together, we should have, and I don't think we should be guessing around what we're doing. I think it'd be better to know before we get there. So as far as, you know, Ellie's kind of been getting that, the meals and things ready, I think it'd be good for us to even keep track of what's brought. Let me say it like this. Usually the main thing is what costs the most.
Right.
Okay? If we're having tacos, you're bringing the meat, you're spending more than everybody else.
Right.
Okay? And I don't think that burden should be on the same people. I don't think it, for two reasons. One is, you know, people want to get an opportunity to give.
Amen.
Okay, we don't want to take that away either. You say, well, they don't have as much as we do. Look, Jesus didn't stop the woman with the two mites.
That's it.
If your heart's desire is to give, and we don't want to stop that.
Amen.
I'll just tell you this. I went and preached for a church one time. I didn't plan to. I was visiting. And it was a church of what? This many, probably? You think there was that many there? And out in the hills of Alabama somewhere. And they asked me to speak. And I got done. They handed me a love offering. I thought, God, I can't hardly take this money from these people. And then it came to me just like Brother Branham said the same. I can't. Well, how can I turn them down? It's a slap in their face, isn't it?
Right.
I'm telling you, if my heart's wrong, I say, well, come on, buddy, you know, hey, Lord, you got a little bit more, don't you? See, that's not what I'm talking about. But if they want to give it,
amen,
they'll be blessed in heaven.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart. And I believe it's the same with, down to where Jesus could say, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you won't lose your reward.
Right.
So how much more if somebody wants to give this and wants to give that?
Right.
You know, that's good. And the other side is, you know, you don't want the same person making it all the time. You know, I think we ought to mix it around. You don't want them to be overbeared where they got to do it every week or feel like it's their obligation. And as far as where we've had it, well, why do you think we have it in Defiance? Is it because it's me or my dad's house? It's just convenience.
Right.
You know, and we've had it out, like we did at the West family. We've had some at the Sproles and things, but, you know, driving a lot sometimes isn't what everybody wants to do on Sunday.
Amen.
Okay? And doing it once in a while, I think, is great. But as far as, you know, day or week in and week out, that's why we do it in Defiance. It's just because we're right here.
Right.
You know, especially in my house now, you can almost walk there. You know,
right.
Praise the Lord. Well, some of us might, you know. Might need to go on a treadmill a few times and get pumped up for that. But anywho, so as far as organizing stuff, I think my wife will maybe just keep track of who's bringing what and kind of just to make sure that if we notice somebody's being burdened more than anyone else, you know, or vice versa, or no, this person never is given a chance to do this. We don't want that to happen. And I don't want to make it a religious thing, just a concept. Does that make sense?
The
concept of, let's try to take care of everyone, make sure everybody's not, you know, got any funny feelings or things. And if you do, let's just say, you know, I haven't ever bugged me, I'd like to, or I feel like I'm always doing, I like to just say something.
Amen.
You know, let's just be honest with each other.
Yes.
Don't get all up in arms. Don't,
right.
Don't hold a grudge in your heart. I'm telling you right now, it's not worth getting over in a grudge for.
No.
Actually, there isn't anything worth getting in a grudge for. Just let it go. Why? Because God already knows all about it. Just trust Him. It'll be okay.
Amen.
So try to rotate through that stuff, and I don't know, as far as that goes. Now, as far as the fellowships themselves, there's a few things that, even myself, that I think we ought to do, because we are stewards of what God has given us. We need to take care of what God's given us. And I don't think it's good, especially when we know, you know, like we think of Brother Ernie and things, and the children over there and stuff, and I know we can only do so much, but we need to be responsible with what we're given. And a lot of times, I guess it's not a lot of times, but it does happen. You know, we've had, you know, a certain amount of food, and, you know, brothers, you know, help us, Lord help us, right? We probably ate twice what we needed to. And sometimes somebody might get left out and don't really get what they had wanted. So what I think will be good, and y'all pray with me, and this isn't going to be, I'm not going to have a sign-up sheet and jobs and all that stuff. It's a concept behind it. And sisters, you're behind this. Just
right.
To let you know, I'm sorry. That's the way it goes.
Amen.
Brothers, we stay out of the kitchen. Unless we're grilling somewhere, we'll be on the grill. But that's about it. So I think it'd be good if even just the first time through when we got everything set up that it's served to us. And here's what I mean. That you get, everybody gets a little bit.
Amen.
That way, and you know, brother, you get that one burger, you're like, man, I want four or five. Well, just wait for everybody to get through one.
Amen.
Let's make sure everybody's got one.
Yeah.
We don't want anybody left out. Also, for our children, we've got to make sure that, you know, and I didn't think a whole lot of it many times. And then, I, you know, fellowships and stuff, I'll be honest, usually I'm kind of tired. I'm just kind of, I'm a little spent, okay? So I haven't paid attention to many details. That's what I'm saying. People bring these things to me. Praise God. I didn't see that.
Right.
You know, and that's okay.
Amen.
But I didn't, you know, we had Dawson's birthday party, and we ate it all clean. And I thought we did, but I went outside, and there was plenty of food that got thrown on the floor and things.
Yeah.
See, that to me is not good.
No.
That's not good, and it's usually children and things. I understand that, but guess what, parents? We're responsible for what
Amen.
They do.
Amen.
And we can try to take the world's perspective on that no, it's their fault. No, it's our fault.
Right.
And that's why I think it'd be good for the women to serve, that children just gets a little bit. Make
right.
sure they eat it first. You
Amen.
Know, let's make sure that we're not
right.
wasting stuff. What was the other... Yeah, that's right. We had those drinks there. And, you know, we found later that there was like, 10 of them probably that weren't hurting drink at all, you know. And it's not good. We don't need to do that. So I think we can all maybe, is that okay with everyone?
Amen.
Have it served to everyone. And sisters, you're going to have to jump in there and do these things,
that's
okay?
Right.
That's the main thing I want to say. I'm not going to make a religion out of this.
Uh-uh.
You got to just get on.
Amen.
Okay? Volunteer.
Amen.
When are you going to go wrong? You won't.
Amen.
God loves a cheerful giver, not one that the pastor may do it. Okay? That's why I'm not going to do that. I just don't believe that. And it comes the same with serving, and it comes the same with cleaning up. I think we all need to do our little part.
Amen.
Then it's a lot easier.
Amen.
you know, clean up your area. If you see someone, they're going to pick the thing up, throw it away, you know. And again, it's not normal thinking in this age, is it? You go on the job, and there's something laying on the floor. And you're right, it'll lay there all day.
True.
The guys will walk right over the top of it, won't they? They'll inconvenience themselves all day to walk over that one pole where they just would have got enough gall to pick the thing up and move it out of the way. They would have saved something. But that's just not the mental thinking. The mental thinking of this age is do the least you can.
That's right.
Well, we're Christians. So if that's your idea, sorry, that's not what the Bible says. It says the man that doesn't work shouldn't eat.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. So we should be the first to volunteer.
Right.
And we can apply that to anything in our lives, in our jobs, and when you're out in the open and things and nobody else is doing anything, I'm sorry, but I believe the Christians should be the first one there to say, I'll help.
Right.
Amen.
And if you hold it, like I said, don't be an uncheerful giver. You already got your reward then. That God will honor that. But if out of the honesty of your heart, you say, I just want to make life a little easier for someone else.
Amen.
God will honor.
Yeah.
I've seen God turn around and bless me in ways unfold just because I did something just to praise his name.
Amen.
Nobody saw it. I didn't tell nobody about it. I just did it.
Amen.
And it's the same with this. It's just every direction, isn't it? You can just see how Satan makes people think, well, you know, then they're going to think this. No, they're not. Don't let the devil tell you that. You're Christians. Fulfill my joy. Be like-minded.
Amen.
That
Amen.
We all love God.
Yes.
We all love each other.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to do this because we want to be better Christians.
Yes. Amen.
So I think that's pretty clear, I hope.
Amen.
Let's have the women try to serve everyone the first time. And the children as well. Let's make sure that they don't ruin things. I know, okay, they're going to spill things and stuff. We're not going to keep a checklist on them. I'm just talking about when it's just straight wasted.
Yeah.
No, we don't need to do that. And then clean up. Everybody gives their part.
Yeah.
Children, men, you're there too. You know, yeah. Don't need your junk all over the place. But put it in the trash. Okay. Is that clear?
Amen.
All right. Like I said, I don't have a lot of... And there was another question given. I'm going to read that now. And as far I looked, and if you find something that Brother Branham said, let me know. Because I've looked for things, and even if it's in the Bible or something, I want to know about it. Maybe I'm ignorant. I've studied the message for years now, but I've been surprised many times. Oh, Brother Branham said that? Did he really say that? Yes, he did. You know, and found out that wasn't exactly what I thought it was. But here's what the question that was asked me, so bear with me here a minute. It says, what does the word or prophet say about eating or drinking in church? And I'm talking about babies and children. I think adults were agreed. We don't need our sandwich in here. Yeah, okay. And they're all right. Good. We're talking about the babies and children. And also if they're toys and books that they tend to have sometimes. Well, as far as a direct thing that Brother Branham said, I haven't. I thought of certain quotes that I'd heard before. And I'm going to quote a little bit here. But as far as specifically dealing with the issue, I didn't find a whole lot. But we can turn to our Bibles real quick, 1 Corinthians. And I want to show you what Paul says here. This is, honestly, this is something I had thought of, but let me say it like this. There's only so much that can fit in my brain. When I get up here, I forget things. Okay, and this was one of those issues that I'm glad it was asked. Now, I didn't try to avoid it. I just forgot. So let's 1 Corinthians 11. 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be manifest among you. Now let me just stop there. Did you hear what Paul said there? He said, I hear there's divisions among you, and I partly believe it. And if there's divisions, that means there's heresies in the church. So a church that's divided, look, that's not good. That means that what's a heresy? It's a doctrine that's just craziness.
Right.
It's not founded on the word and things. And if there's division, there's confusion, it's because heresies are getting in somewhere.
Right.
Okay? And that's not good. That's why I fulfill my joy. Don't let divisions come in.
Right.
Especially over what I just talked about there, which is say on the fellowship things. That is not a thus saith the Lord kind of issue. It's nothing worth fighting for. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And that's where a lot of times churches get too legalistic. They start making things word that aren't word.
That's right.
If it's my opinion, if it's what we're just going to do here, I'm going to let you know that. I think I've been pretty clear about that when it's just Brother Andrew's idea and that's just what I'm going to do.
Right.
But when it's the word, I can, if it's in the Bible, if it's in this message, I'll say those say, the Lord, I ain't afraid to back down. The word's right.
Amen.
That goes for any man's word. That goes for Brother Andrew's word. That goes for our feelings and our thoughts. All of it is secondary to what the word of God says.
Amen.
The word of God is always right.
Yes.
Always.
Amen.
Excuse me. Verse 20. When you come together, therefore, to one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another drunken. That kind of deals a little bit with what I said earlier. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What were they doing? See, the people that had a lot were eating a bunch, and the people that didn't have nothing just sat there. See, that's not good. We don't want that. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And that's as far as scripturally goes. I couldn't find a whole lot more than that. Now, that doesn't deal directly with what this question has, but I think we can apply the concept.
Amen.
That's another thing that I can't stand about our nation. We're in church for 2 hours, church. 2 hours. We can make it without eating and drinking. 2 hours.
Amen.
That's not what your doctor tells you, right? You know, you've got this problem. You need to do this. You can go ahead and cast that aside. We can respect God's house. It doesn't take that much faith, I don't think. That if we respect God's house, then He will bless us for it.
Amen.
And I don't think, and you know, if they're a little bitty guy, I don't think it should be in the sanctuary anyways. If they're going to eat or drink anything, we got a nursery for that. But
Amen.
To me, that's, I'm talking little guys. I'm talking can't do anything. Even my Wesley, I think too old. He's too old for that.
Right.
He doesn't need little snacks. He
Amen.
Can wait 2 hours to eat again.
Amen.
But maybe if they're real little and they're real fussy and stuff, that's what the nursery is for. Now, I'll say this. If they eat anything in that nursery, don't leave a mess in there. That's not a pig pen.
Right.
That is a nursery. And this is God, that's just as much part of this. This is all God's house.
Amen.
We respect this place.
Yeah.
We don't just dump things around. If there's something on, you have to pay attention to it. Parents and that, you know, my wife, Lord willing, will probably have more children's stuff. She'll have to go back in there and things like that. But we're not, no mess in there.
Amen.
No eating or drinking in the sanctuary.
That's right.
I have water up here, and the only reason I ever drink, see, I usually try to hold out as much as I can, but sometimes I can't even talk anymore. I got so much, whatever, phlegm in my mouth. Y'all ain't talking as much as I do. Maybe you could one service. I don't think I'd be too offended by that, but we even got the little drinking thing out there. We neither one that bad. I know it was 2 hours in here. Right? I don't want to stress you out too much, but if you really need one, we do have it out there and go out there. But as far as in the sanctuary, I don't think we should have any here drinking. Is that okay?
Amen.
And then there's the toys and books. Now, I'll say I'm the first one that I've learned on this issue a little bit. I've also had it happen without my knowledge until I'm at the platform. So you can imagine what that's like when something your son's doing isn't what you want him doing, but you're about to start preaching. So have a little patience, brother. I almost want to walk off the platform sometimes, okay? I understand that. I'm not afraid to say things like this. If you think I've got too much pride, I'll tell you right now, I am learning as a parent just as much as anyone else. And you think, well, okay, we'll bring a few of these things. Maybe that'll help. And if you notice now, we don't bring anything. Because we're just like, well, until he learns to just sit there and be quiet, we'll just keep it as an incentive with anything. But as far as toys, I don't think we need toys in the church of God. I've even seen my little guy, I think it was one time he was sitting up here and he snuck that thing in somewhere. I can't tell you where he got that bus from. But it wasn't in what I put it in.
Right.
So he probably snuck it in his pocket or something and he pulled it out when he was up here on front. I remember that specifically. There might be others, but that's one I remember. I don't approve of that. I don't think we ought to bring toys in the house of God. As far as books, we've got Bibles. We've got song books and things. If a child has, and I think it ought to be a Bible book. That's okay. I don't think we need to bring some worldly thing in here. And even innocent kind of things, I still don't think it's good to be in the house of the Lord. If they've got their little kiddie Bibles or David books and things, I think that'd be great to have in the house of the Lord. So they can, and they, you know, they can sit there and read their books and things. We're sitting there reading our books. Why are we going to tell them something different?
Amen.
But I don't think it should be worldly. You're not bringing in something worldly. You know, I don't mind you reading the message of the hour either. I hope that's okay. If anybody, in case that was in anybody's thought. I know Brother Bram said read your Bible, but there wasn't message books to read in the church yet.
Right.
You know, it wasn't a common practice. I'm not going to make a big deal of that. I believe it's the word of the Lord just the same.
Right.
but I wouldn't read things of the world in the house of God, you know, God forbid. And we really shouldn't think on things of the world in the house of God, and we should only do what we have to do in the world just when we have to do it.
Amen.
Other than that, we should live where we can stay in heavenly places, you know. Sometimes we got obligations, you know. I'm not saying you can't be in heavenly places all the time. You can. You know, I'm not going to have to worry about finances when I get to heaven.
Amen.
That's the first thing I'm dropping on.
Yeah.
Next thing's my watch. Yeah. We're going to throw that in the trash.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Brother Graham talks in Elisha the prophet. This is 56. Listen to this. Let's talk about Elisha now. How many knows the story of Elisha when they started making fun of him up on the hill there? And let me just read what happened. He says, "Now remember, he had a temper too. And some children began to make fun of him because he was bald-headed. And he cursed those children, and that wasn't so much for the children's sake." This is what I want to apply here. It was for the parents that didn't raise up their children to respect God. That's what it was. The parents lost their children because two she-bears killed 42 of them. Must have been 100 or more running after Elijah. And going right down through Samaria where they had the word preached so long in the prophet. But do you see something there? It was the people's attitude towards God's messenger. So what's the concept? It's not even just in the toys and things. It's the concept of learning to respect the Almighty God.
Yes.
And that goes for adults too. And
yes.
When you walk in here, this isn't you respecting your pastor. This isn't you respecting one another. This is on a whole different level.
Amen.
This is God's house.
Yes.
This is a place that we have the privilege of isolating and using just for His purpose.
Amen.
We are here to respect Him. And it's our goal, it's our job, it is our obligation, it's our stewardship as parents to teach our children to respect this. Now, the best way to do it is you do it first.
Amen.
And that's where a lot of families have gone wrong. If you go and bash everything that was said and talk about this person, that person, when you walk out of church, why do you expect your children to respect everyone in there?
That's right.
And how you treat one another is how you treat God.
Amen.
You can't separate it. So God help us that we need pretty much more than anything close this thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I was told this once, Everett C. He's my, I don't even know what to call him, uncle or second cousin-in-law or something, but first cousin once removed, something like that. But he's my relative. And he was talking one time to his daughter that had made a comment and caused some trouble. And he said, "Come here. I want to tell you how to do this." He said, "When you think something like that, think about it. Think about it a little longer. Think about it a little bit longer, and then don't say anything."
Amen. True. Good.
If you've got to stop and think, should I say this? You shouldn't.
Right.
Why? Because you're going on some kind of impression.
Right.
Or it's usually some kind of anger or frustration, and you'll never do anything right acting like that.
Amen.
Nope, not at all. You need, when you're acting in the will of the Lord, you know where you stand. And so we need to teach our children that. We need to teach them what this house is all about. That's not something for the pastor to do. That's something for us as parents to do with our children. Let me give you one more here. Respects, 1961. "I know of three boys one time that mocked communion in the church, know of them. And they went up in the hotel room and got some ham sandwiches and a bottle of whiskey and had their communion up there, making fun of the communion they had in the Pentecostal church. Less than 3 months from then, one of them was dead and two was in the same institution. You can't disrespect God. You've got to respect God. If you don't believe in it, just keep still. Keep away from it. Or either do that or come reverently and respect it. Don't make fun of people in the spirit.
Amen.
Don't talk about people that's worshiping in the spirit of God. Let them alone." And that goes, a lot of comedians anymore will talk about how people worship and stuff. I'm sorry, that don't flow right with me. You know, making, "Oh, some people do this, some do this." No,
no.
That is holy ground.
Amen.
I don't believe in that at all. And if you, oh my God, have mercy. And the comments I've heard people make and stuff, and this is the saddest part. You're in the house of the Lord. Jesus Christ promised to be here, and you're more concerned that person raises their hands to show them. You know what happens. It's a complete waste of your time. What are you doing? Have you ever thought of it that way? What are you doing? Are you respecting God? You're not even paying Him attention. You're ignoring Him. For what? And it's a dove. Yes. It's absolutely devil. Not that person's worship, but the devil that comes and tells you they're not doing it right.
Right.
If there's something out of order, look, the Holy Spirit will take care of it.
Sure.
Right.
He will. He has every time.
Amen.
If we've allowed him. Now, the problem is if those in charge don't know what's going on, then you're in trouble.
Right.
You say, Brother Andrew, does that happen? I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there where I've seen I'm just gonna tell it. Let's just go there. That's fine. So one time that there was a woman that had come to church demon possessed, and we had the communion separated. That's why I don't do it this way here. I have it where I know what's going on. Because we had the men upstairs and the women downstairs. I think some of you were there. That's right. No, a lot of you were there. But some of you weren't, so just listen patiently. And this woman, I don't know exactly what happened, but all I know is the sister just started screaming and just being tormented and things. And we're upstairs and being told one thing, and I already knew in the spirit that's not what's happening. I knew there was a devil down there. And that's sometimes the problem with people and stuff. It's like, I'm sorry. You can try to lie to me. You can try to coat it over and stuff. The Holy Spirit lives in me. He already knows all about it.
Yeah.
And caused a big ruckus, a big confusion and things. And I don't want to get into too many details, but it was a mess down there. And finally, the pastor came upstairs where we were at as men and said, if there's anyone in faith or something of that sort, let's pray. And I'm sorry, I don't believe in praying devils out.
Nope.
You cast them out.
Yes. Amen.
I don't twist the devil's arm.
Nope.
I push his face in the ground. I tell him to leave.
That's right.
Say, that's arrogant. You don't understand who lives in you. You don't understand
right.
Who commissioned you.
Amen.
He's the Almighty God. He doesn't
Amen.
Let any devil push my arm.
Right.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, I was furious
right.
of all the unbelief
that's
I saw.
Right.
Yes.
I couldn't take it.
Amen.
And by the time I got there, I think some of y'all might even remember this, I said about 10 times louder than I can talk, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of here.
Right.
Rotten, devil, nasty thing, get out of here. And it wasn't. And now look, some people think, oh, it just should be like that. When even was it Legion, I believe he said in the same hour he was made whole.
That's right.
But sometimes, you know, there's little effects and stuff, but it's going to leave. And I didn't. It took, it wasn't even a few minutes or so, and things calmed down, and I believe that spirit. Well, here's the thing, I don't know where it went, but it wasn't on me.
That's right. That's it. There you go.
I don't believe in putting up with the devil.
No.
I don't know why I'm going to try. There's nothing to do with what I was trying to talk about. But I believe
Amen.
In the authority of God
right.
in his people.
Yes. Amen.
Not time to let the devil
no.
give us sickness and depression
no.
and just run rampant through church. You don't need a pill. You need the gospel.
Amen.
I believe the devil's lie on this stuff too long, and I'm glad one voice that preaches that kind of junk is out.
Amen.
Some of y'all might know about that, but
yeah.
Anywho, I'm not even sure, but we need to respect God.
Yeah.
And I know we haven't, when was the last time we took communion? God have mercy on me. It's been a little while, isn't it? That's not intentional. Like I said, I've just got a lot of things in communion that I like to give a lot of respect to. I don't think we have to do it every month. But I think we need to take it.
Amen.
I don't think we should go a year without taking it or something like that. I don't believe in that. And we talked about communion. I've actually preached in the first communion service about how we do things. And I don't really want to talk about that today. But more than anything, we need to respect these things.
Yeah.
Look what Brother Bram just said there about people who disrespect the communion. One was dead, two in the saints institution. We're not playing church. And I trust most people's innocency in here with what we've allowed our children to do and things, but you need to be careful. When we're dealing with demon spirits and things, it's not time to let kids play around. It's time to teach them, hey, this is serious.
Right.
You tell me children don't know, you can teach them how to pray at a young age.
Amen.
You can teach them who Jesus is.
That's
you can teach
right.
them that we don't put up with this. That when you get hurt, that's because of the devil, because of sin. Pain is only here because of sin.
Amen.
And we don't put up with that around
no.
this place. And that goes for
right.
Being afraid and things. We shouldn't teach our children it's okay to be afraid. It's
uh-huh.
not. That's a devil.
That's right.
Put our faith in the Lord. It'll be all right.
Amen.
Is that clear so far?
Amen.
So as far as children eating and drinking and adults as well, I don't think we should have anything in the house of the Lord in the sanctuary. Now, if you're a little child, and like I said, I'm talking little guys. Within 6 months or so, maybe a year at the most, if you have something and they're just being fussy or something, if you do that in the nursery and don't leave any mess, I think that'll be okay.
Amen.
If there is a mess, we'll cut it out. It's the same with Sonny's Bar. I don't believe in playing games with this stuff. If we're not going to do it right, don't do it.
Amen.
Don't do it. If our Sunday school is a bunch of chaos and stuff, and I'm not saying that to like prophesy or anything, I'm just using that as an example. If it doesn't go the way that the Word says it should, we won't do it.
Amen.
Same with the fellowships and stuff. It becomes more of a hassle, more of a how many's been blessed, though? You say that. How many's been blessed in fellowship with one another? You know, you went to churches before, you went there for years, and you know like three people there. Okay, I don't think that's right. I think we should fellowship the best that we can. And the Bible tells us to come together the more. I think that's the house of the Lord, obviously. And even when we come together in things that should be spiritually minded, let me make sure I hit that for a little bit here. I think when we come together, look, it's not time. You can fellowship about, and it's not, I don't want to make it a religion. But talking about everything in the world the whole time we're there, it's not right. We've got buddies in the world that do that. We're Christians. We have things in common.
Amen.
We should have testimony.
Amen.
We should have things that we've been reading in the Word of God.
Yes.
We should have things that's happened in prayer. We should all be living in a supernatural realm.
Yes.
And I think that's the main reason why there's not a whole lot to say sometimes.
Right.
God help us, but I said the same thing when I went to Brother Josh Tucker's church, and that was a tough one to say. I didn't, just kind of came out that, you know, maybe you say, well, the brother doesn't talk about the Word much, and I was like, well, maybe he doesn't have anything to talk about. Maybe he ain't reading it. Maybe he ain't experienced anything. Maybe he hasn't listened to this. I don't know.
Right.
It's a sad condition to be in. I'll say that. If we're Christians, this should be our love.
Amen.
If it's still religion, God have mercy, brother, sister. Get on your knees and find Christ.
Yes.
This is more than life.
Amen.
His love and kindness. His.
Yes.
And God, I understand, church, the distractions on every side. And I deal with them too. I hate them.
Yes.
And I hate the one that's right here, and I got to pack around everywhere.
Yes.
I can't stand it. But you'll never be satisfied feeding on any of that.
Nope.
Amen.
Give it 10 hours. Give it. It's never going to satisfy you. There's only one thing that satisfies. That's the Word of the Living God.
Amen.
When it can come off the pages and experience it for yourself. Amen. You got a little bit more time?
Amen.
There were a few questions asked on some doctrine and preach. Now, I want to say this. This was really nice. As far as for me, I felt really good in this regard. Nobody questioned something that I had preached. As far as church order things, I kind of, you know, if there's something I said confusing and stuff, nothing came on that regard. So I felt pretty good that way. Is that okay? Can I feel good? That's the one thing, especially as a teacher and stuff, the worst part is when somebody doesn't understand what you're saying.
Right.
Nothing more frustrating, especially teaching math. God have mercy, that is the hardest time. Trying, and this is going to sound terrible. You bear with me a little bit. I've been pretty good at math my whole life. I've had to train my mind into not being able to know things. You laugh, I'm telling you. Because until I can get down and see it like they do, how can I help them?
That's right.
And it's the same with the Word of God. Sometimes we think, well, they should get this. Maybe not.
Right.
Maybe you need to pray, Lord, give me the right mind. Let me go over in that guy's shoes for a minute and see it the way he's seeing her, that woman, or that brother, that sister. And see, we tend to think everybody's had the same experience you have. Well, they ought to have one experience the same. That's receiving the Holy Ghost. But as far as life experiences and what they've read, I thought many times, and you can never assume it. Never.
Right.
I've had a song leader for, that was, I think, 13 years. Realized he didn't know any of the quotes I was talking about. I don't think that's good, but you can't assume anything.
Right.
I was just rattling off, you know, Brother Ram said this, and we should do this and stuff. He's like, oh, really? You've never heard this? So I realized, well, that's a fault on me. I assumed that.
That's good.
It might be a shame, but look, that's not the Christian life, is to put others down.
No.
It's to put others up.
Amen.
Right.
And if it was easy, it wouldn't be a victory. But there were some things while I was gone, and I want to say this, typically, okay, I can't say that I've always listened to every single sermon when I wasn't here. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been pretty busy, and I've missed a few at times, okay? But typically, I do. I listen through. I want to know what was said. I want to even just feel what happened in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, just to see, you know, how did it go and things. And I always ask the ministers that come by, you know, how did it go? And the only problem with that is they always say the same thing. It's great, you know, praise the Lord. And I believe him. Because when two or three are gathered, he's here with us. But sometimes I want some detail, you know. I want to know how things went and stuff. And the only way to do that, the only thing I can do, I can't be here. I can be here in spirit. But I think, are you understanding what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's why I listen to it and stuff. But there was one, and I just want to talk about it, if that's okay. You got, like I said, you got a little time here? There was a couple things that were questioned, and like I said, it's probably someone else too, but the first one here, and this was one I, even when discussing about it, I had thought the same thing. It was something I was actually a little ignorant of and had the same thoughts, and then I went and looked at it, and I believe the word is right.
Amen.
Even when I'm wrong, I believe the word's right. So I want to look at this together. It's coming, well, we'll be in Joshua there here in a minute, but let me just read you a few things. This is Brother Alexander. It was on July 2nd, and I can give you the times and stuff. I've got this quote here. Let me quote you what Brother Alexander said so you can see where this is coming from. He's talking about when Joshua stopped the sun. How many members that one? You all remember that? Okay, let's read this together. Or let me read it to you. Listen closely. The whole reason Joshua did that is because he made a mistake. He made a league with the people, the Gibeonites, and he had to protect them. That was his mistake, and God rebuked him for it. And yet, he was still out there fighting the enemy that he once wasn't fighting for. And he says, the sun stands still, and God honored him. My God commissioned him. That's why God honored his word, not because he made a mistake, but because God picked him. So let's look at this situation here. This is something I had to study out myself, so I don't mind this question at all. It was something I had actually forgotten about. Joshua chapter 9. How many believes the word today?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe that too. Joshua chapter 9. And it talks about the league with the Gibeonites, and I could paraphrase this first part. How many know the story? The Gibeonites say that they dress themselves up like they're real ragged, you know, like they've been coming from a long ways, and their bread's all moldy and stuff, but they live next door.
Right.
And they know that Joshua's been wiping out everybody, so they're getting afraid.
Right.
And they come up with this scheme that they're going to pretend they're from a far country, and they're going to come up and make a league. And let's just pick it up right there in verse 9. It says, and they said unto him, speaking to Joshua, from a very far country thy servants are come, because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore now make a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision, out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy, and these bottles of wine which were filled were new, and behold, they be rent, and these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel out the mouth of the Lord. And I'll tell you right now, and that goes for any Christian, I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got, you don't take God's counsel, you're not going to make the right choice.
Amen.
Your reasoning will always go the wrong route. And look what he, right here, verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Now real quick, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Hold your place there. I want to put these right next to each other. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 2. I love the word of God.
Amen.
I really do. I love that. It's the truth. It's absolutely the truth. There, can you say amen? Deuteronomy 7. All right. Let's just go to read verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land, whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Is that what Joshua did here? Not in this one instance. And why was it? Why was it the one time? I'll be honest, I had thought many times that the only thing I can remember going wrong in Joshua was Achan. I mean, I thought the same thing. I remember thinking, oh yeah, that's right, Achan, and he stole the golden thing, and they lost 16 men, and Joshua stopped it right there and said, no, sir, we're not supposed to lose one man.
Amen.
Something's wrong. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. All right. Still the word of God. But I'd forgot all about this story, to be honest with you. And then I saw even more details here. I never knew this until I studied this out. that they did that. They made the league. How many seeds that Moses already done told them? Don't you make any leagues.
You kill them.
Right.
Don't you do it with the devil either. Don't make no agreements with the devil. Don't say, I'm always going to have to deal with this. I'm always going to have to struggle with this. You kill him.
Right.
You tell him to get out of your life. And he'll leave. Resist the devil. Delight yourself in the Lord. Resist the devil. And he will flee. Now watch this. Go to chapter 10 now. Now, like I said, I was a little ignorant on this how this all panned out. How many heard the story of Joshua stopping the sun?
Uh-huh.
Amen, right? But I didn't. I guess I didn't notice the details here earlier. Listen to this now. Now, it came to pass when Abinadab, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, and he had, as he had done to Jericho and her king, and had he done to Ai and her king, how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. How many knows that that's what happened? Gibeonites were allowed to come in, and they were all one big group for there. Now, I want you to understand this. I understand that that might have been wrong, but you know that God knew before the foundation of the world that was going to happen, and the Gibeonites later become one of the most divided groups in Israel? Why? Even in our mistake, if you'll commit it to the Lord, God will bring it through anyhow. How many's glad that Jesus came and died on the cross?
Yes.
Amen. Should it have been that way? Should Adam and Eve never done what they did? Absolutely.
Right.
But God made provision before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
okay, verse 2. That they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men whereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Horam, king of Hebron, and to Pekah. Let me just skip down. I don't want to. Verse 4. Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite who? Gibeon. I'd never noticed that before. This army was coming to fight Gibeon, not necessarily Israel.
Right.
I never caught that before. For it had made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, and the king of Hebron, and the king of Jamoth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, got themselves together and went up, they and all their hosts, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And look what happens. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorite that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with them, and the mighty men of valor in the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. And we know the rest of the story. Why did Joshua even get involved in this? Is because he had to obey the league he had made with Gibeon.
Yes.
How many is, I never even saw that before, ever.
Amen.
But I thought, praise God.
Yeah.
Think of that. Think of the predestination of God. I'm sure there was a few Gibeonites he knew. I need them later on, and he worked. Oh, my. Do you understand the permissive will of God?
Yes.
It can be glorious when we're ignorant.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It can bring things together when we make a mess.
Yes.
How many, you know Rahab the harlot?
Yes.
She bold-faced lied.
Yes.
And God used it to save his nation.
Amen.
To save those souls that were
yes.
in there. That was the line to bring Christ came through Rahab.
Yes.
And she had to be a sinner so she could lie there.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Take your life. Do you see what I'm saying? Take your life and put
yes.
it there. I did this wrong. Commit it to the Lord
yes.
and he'll show you. I knew you'd do that, but I worked it out this way.
Yes.
You did this, but I'll
yes.
work it out this way.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I do believe it. As far as the content, and Brother Alexander, he said he made a league with the people, the Gibeonites, and he had to protect them. But that's exactly right there in the Word. I didn't know that myself. I said, well, praise God, you know. And that's the main thing. God didn't honor his mistake. I hope you understand that. That's not, we don't glorify mistakes. But what it is if we commit to God, God will get the glory through.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And then one last concept I really want to talk about, because this is something that I struggled with for a long time, but I believe it's so essential to the message of the hour for you to understand this concept here. This was another question about, it was a different service, I believe it, this is the only thing I had found. If there's something else, please talk to me. That goes for any of this stuff. Let me make sure I make sure you understand it. If you still have anything like, oh, I don't know about that, I'm wide open. Don't talk. If you want it in private, if you want it, that's fine. I don't care. You know, even I'll just let him know. Brother Jason sometimes just pull me right outside there and said a few words with me because he wanted to talk. I'm fine with that.
Right.
I'm fine with it. What I don't want, listen carefully. You know, horrible that.
Right.
People realize, people realize, everybody. see somebody, I wish they could miss church today. You say, oh, I know, oh, no, it happens. There's been times where you're like, man, it'd be nice not to see them today. That's exposing something new, buddy.
Yes.
Time to make that thing right, isn't it?
There it is.
Amen.
There it is.
Amen. And make sure you understand this, too. I'm not just going through this because of Brother Alexander. Like, if I would have been asked something else about another minister, I'd have done the same thing.
Right.
It's the Word, I believe.
Yes. Right.
Absolutely the Word.
Yes.
And if they're wrong, I'm wrong. I've come back and said, I said something. I remember one time in particular, something about sinning and doing things after you've been converted. And I said, well, I listened to myself. It's not exactly the way I meant to say it, and I corrected that.
Right.
That's okay.
Amen.
Yes. I'm not infallible.
Yes.
The Word is.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, this one, and let me just read what Brother Alexander said here. This was out of the 7th, July 6th, the Kingdom of God in Power. And like I said, I got time to say. It said, Moses one day, they were persecuting Moses, and he cried out to God, said, God, do a new thing. Let the earth open up and swallow these people, and guess what? And then he goes on to another example. But how many knows that story? Jason 4. Well, let's go there real quick. And I'm gonna try to wrap it up here. You got a few more minutes.
Amen.
Amen. Numbers chapter 16. Different of a service, but as long as he's here, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Amen. Go down to, let me just talk about the story beforehand. You know that Moses had been the leader chosen by God, and Dathan and Korah said, you're not the only ones that can do this. We can do what we want to do too, and made a big ruckus and things, and they challenged Moses. And then this, if we go to verse, let's go to 19. Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Now that's the one thing God, we know he said. He said this. Okay, get away from him. And they fell upon their face and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? Now here's another one. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, get you up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, who's talking now? Just make sure you understand this. Moses. Moses is now talking. God did his part earlier. Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sin. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of the tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. Okay, so that's a big concept there. It's Moses saying it, but he's not saying what he's just thinking.
Right.
He's getting it from God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, this is going to apply to us in a lot of ways. Verse 29, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, not Moses make a new thing, but if the Lord do it, but who's saying it?
Right.
You see how this all goes together? Moses is saying that, but the Lord is the one that's going to do it.
That's right.
Amen. The Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up, and all that pertains unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. Then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord.
Amen.
Moses got provoked one time.
Yeah.
He smoked the rock twice.
Right.
That had nothing to do with God. But this time had nothing to do with Moses. They provoked God to anger.
Amen.
How do you do the works of God? Believe on him whom he sent. And you watch how people treat my brother Branham, his ministry and things, and they don't have a good ending.
Nope.
Why? They're not provoking Brother Branham. They didn't do his ministry. Those that questioned him, remember the whole row fell epileptic?
Yes.
That wasn't because they questioned Brother Branham. They provoked the Lord to anger.
Amen.
And though it might have came through that prophet's mouth, it was God bringing his word.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly.
And it came to pass as he made an end of speaking all these words that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them up in all their houses, and all the men all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. Let me show you this right here. Go back to Exodus 8. Just a couple scriptures I want to show you. The Bible is perfect. I love it. Exodus 8. Excuse me. This is after the frogs come. Go to verse 12 there. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and the Lord, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. What kind of authority was given to this man?
Amen.
That wasn't the one time either. Go down to verse, there's one more time that I found at least. Verse 30. It's talking about, this is after the seventh one. I can't remember, I mean, it was the flies, that's right. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord did according to the word of Moses. Do you understand the authority of a son of God in his position?
Amen.
Who has more authority, an angel or a son of God?
Amen.
The son of God does. Look, let's go back to our first scripture. I'm going to show you how this all ties together, and it almost is, I might have to preach. I don't know. We'll see.
Amen.
We'll see here. Philippians 2. We read that about, you know, let nothing be done through vainglory and love one another, fulfill my joy. Look at the start at verse 4 there. Philippians 2, 4. Give me a second here. I see some still flipping. We got a few minutes, right?
Amen.
I don't think I've been just enough. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it. That's you. You let it.
Right.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Listen up. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We used to throw these things around before the message. At least I did. When God came to Moses and said, I will make you God to them and make Aaron your prophet. It means a lot more than what
yes,
I thought.
It does.
He was saying, I'm going to put my mind in you, Moses.
Yes.
And when you think these things, it's not you thinking it.
No.
That's me thinking it. Speak what I give you.
Amen.
Amen. And God has done the same in our day. He's given us his mind. And we think, oh, it's just me saying that.
No.
If it's an anointing, if it's an inspiration, that's God giving you his thought, say it.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord did according to the word of tongues.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
I believe it.
Yes.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ, who thought it. Now look, it said the mind, and the mind thinks. Who thought it not robbery. You're not stealing.
Right.
Over God.
Amen.
Not over God now. A lot of people want to do that. Oh, I don't care what the word said. No, you're trying to go over God. Equal God.
Right.
This is the tough thing to say, isn't it? But isn't that what the word just said?
Yes.
Read the next verse here. But made himself of no reputation. You got to take it all together. You know?
Right.
Oh, praise God, I'm the bride, I'm equal with God. Hey, get down.
Right.
You're supposed to be if you're really that, you shouldn't be saying, in that way. You
right.
See what I'm saying? You should know where you stand, but as far as puffing yourself up, you got to puff yourself up, you don't know who you are yet.
Right.
You're just a blow-up doll trying to make yourself something not.
Yes.
But made himself of no reputation, but this mind, how many wants this mind in your mind?
Amen.
And took upon him the form of a servant. Didn't Moses do the same thing?
Right.
Yes.
Isn't that right? He was a servant of these people. He was trying to save them. He didn't even want Dathan and Abiram to die, but they crossed too far.
Right.
They crossed too far. God said it's done for you guys. We talked about that Wednesday, didn't we? A sin unto death. It was too late.
Amen.
And took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. And if you keep going there, that the mind of Christ, this is where I want to end on this. God did according to the word of Moses, the physical word of Moses, but I'm telling you, the thought that was put in his mind came from God.
Amen.
God, it's an indirect way. I don't know why God chose it to do this way, but I keep going that scripture. His foolishness is still better than our wisdom.
Yeah.
So we might as well just go ahead and trust it.
Amen.
Why in the world would God give us his word? You know, a bunch of people that don't know what we're doing, and we make this mistake and that mistake. Isn't there better people out there to do this? Well, maybe. Why didn't he pick Dathan? You know, he seemed to have it together a little bit more than Moses, who was spouting off and getting mad, smiting rocks, and having trouble with his wife sometimes, and getting a foreskin thrown at him. I mean, this is kind of nasty stuff sometimes, but that was God's servant anyhow.
Yes, amen.
We our destination of God. How glorious it is to know who we are in Christ. To know that you were picked. You didn't, Jesus said it. You didn't pick me.
Right. Amen.
And he was, I don't believe he was just talking there on earth. He said, I picked you before you even knew anything of it.
Right. Amen.
And when you're converted, strengthen your brother, right? What was the conversion? When you begin to think after you receive the Holy Ghost, it won't be you now, Peter. Peter, you're a wimp. You're a coward. You run away. You spout off. You say things. But when you're converted, strengthen your brother.
Amen.
Why? The word of God.
Yes.
And I believe that's what it was. And that's kind of, it's a tough thing. And there's times I've even listened to tapes. Is that Brother Brandon or is that God? Well, it could be both.
Amen.
It absolutely could. It could. He could even have thought it. Let me make sure you understand it. The Lord hearkened to the word of Moses. Moses said the word, but it was still God's word coming through him. Why do we know it? Why do we know that? Because it happened.
Right.
Had it not happened, we would have known it was just the words of a man because the words of a man fail. Isn't that right?
Sure.
If the earth wasn't a cave open and swallowed Dathan and Abiram, you said, well, Moses, you're a false prophet. You don't know what you're talking about. But even he's still in his calling, even in his mistake when he smote the rock twice, did it happen?
Right.
Because God stands behind his servant.
Yeah, that's right.
He did it for Elisha, too. We talked about that when the two, and Brother Graham said, there ain't no God of love that wanted to kill 42 children like that. It was the voice of an angry prophet because they were making fun of him. And we wonder why God don't give us spiritual blessing. Or you big baby like Elisha, if somebody comes by making fun of you, you going to be able to say, well, Lord, they don't know what they're doing. That's the mind that was in Christ. That's what should be in you. Elisha didn't have that at the time. You know, he had an excuse, though. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. What's yours?
That's it.
Amen.
There you go. Amen.
Some of y'all are like, well, can we do that? I don't believe that now. We've been changed. We've been regenerated.
Amen.
We don't have to go find the mind of Christ.
That's
it's
right.
In us. Now the only thing Paul said is you have to let it.
Amen.
How? With the flesh says, don't do it.
Right.
Can't stand how many times I've seen people, well, the devil said this. What are you talking about what the devil said? If you know it's the devil, don't do it.
Amen.
Why are you telling me about it? Rebuke, get out of here.
Yeah.
Tell me what God told you. Man, some people hear from the devil more than ever hear from God. All they got to talk about is what the devil did, what the devil said. We've given the devil too much credit in our life anyhow. We need to just forget him. He's defeated. He's got nothing on us. We are the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Fulfill my joy. Have this mind that we're all going to get.
Amen.
That we're not leaving a hoof behind. Isn't that right?
Right.
We're going to take the same attitude that Moses had, that if God, you've got, and sometimes we think it's an impression. Here's how you know it's not. It'll be something you don't want to do.
Amen.
If you're just all gung-ho about it, that might be an impression. You might want to just let that go. But if there's just something, Lord, I don't know why. I just can't seem to get away from this. But at thy word, and it might come out of your lips. That's where people think the gifts of the Spirit, like it's just, oh, poof, and just there it is. It comes to your lips. But it's not. It's not your own thought, but it's the mind of Christ that's in you.
Right.
And that's the mind we want to listen to.
Amen.
You've got your own mind. It ain't no good. That's why you had to get rid of it and get a new one.
Amen.
You know, some people say, well, I was born this way. Well, that's great. Get born again.
Amen.
You know, anymore, you know, I used to kind of fight about that. People say they're born again and stuff. You know what? In one sense, you probably were. You probably had that trait in your family, and here you are with it. But get born again.
Amen.
You know, we talk about generational curses and stuff. And that's true until you get in Christ.
Amen.
You cut off all those ties. Why don't you hold on to that? Well, my daddy was this way. I don't care. My daddy's this way.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. Let this mind, let's just do that.
Right.
Let this mind be in us. What is that? Don't make yourself, we are equal with God. Oh, I can't. I'm sorry. That's the Bible.
Amen.
I know it's hard even to say that. But if I'm his wife, I sit in the throne.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Still my Lord, I'm still going to listen to him.
Yes.
But my heart's desire that he put it, it's his. We're one.
Yes.
We're one in the same. What I want is because he wanted it first.
Yes.
Why? I was taken from his side.
Right.
I was there on the cross when he died. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And now we're alive together. We've been redeemed.
Amen.
What does redeemed mean? Brought back. Not, I was down here. This is really, don't identify with what you were in the world. That man isn't you.
Amen.
Reckon yourself dead and alive unto God.
Amen.
And
And what is the message come to do? To restore that to us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Moses had that special relation with God, didn't he? To where he could even say, you know, I talk to prophets and dark sayings and stuff, but not Moses. Face to face.
Right.
And you can get all detailed about that stuff. You can say, well, Moses never really saw his face. Maybe, well, that shows you it's not what God was talking about.
Right.
And you can't interpret the word, God does.
Amen.
But now, I'm going to preach a little bit.
Amen.
Okay. Son of man's coming. The Son of God, you couldn't see. It's invisible. You know, God is invisible. He's a spirit. You can't see a spirit. But when God was made flesh, you could see him. The Bible said no man has seen God at any time, but then Jacob said, I saw God first. Why? God was made flesh and wrestled a man all night. That wasn't just some angel. That was the angel.
That's it.
He called the name Peniel, which means I've seen God face to face and my life's preserved. How do you see God now? Let the mind of Christ be in you. Every Christian born of the Spirit of God is God made flesh. And how you treat them? Why do you think we're talking about fellowships and stuff? It doesn't look like a big issue until you recognize who you're dealing with.
Amen.
Can you, and this is just for you in your heart, can you identify with believers, even in this church and in those other ones, that woman's a daughter of God? That man's a son. Because who? There's only one group hopeless. Didn't we talk about that Wednesday? There's only one group hopeless. That's those that sinned away the day of grace. It's those that's taken the word and turned it down and says, I don't want nothing to do with this day. Nothing you can do there. But as long as they haven't done that, you've got to treat them that way. Let the mind be, and esteem them higher than yourself.
Yeah.
I've been serving the Lord 30 years. Esteem that new convert higher than yourself. God will bless you so much.
Right.
Why? Because maybe they just need a little bit of encouragement. Maybe you got it all together today.
Yeah.
You'll need their encouragement tomorrow.
Yes.
Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hope that was okay today.
Amen.
Everything went the way I thought. I can't say how often that even happens. I trust the Lord Jesus. That's what I even just today, or was it 3 years last night, I was praying. You know how you get sometimes, you just, what is wrong with me? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? Why, God, shouldn't I be more like this? Now, what is it? 177. And I said, God, just give me a scripture or something. You know, why do I act this way? And I turned that scripture, it says, you know, he that's circumcised, he is not, you know, grace and things, and I can't remember exactly, but he got to the point where he said, he's not a Jew that's one outward, he's a Jew that's one inward. It's like, God, you know my heart, you know I'm trying to serve you, and I know I don't do everything right, and I never want anybody to think that, if it wasn't for Christ's death on the cross, I wouldn't be standing here right now, and if it wasn't for his mercy to send me the truth, I don't care, I'd believe in some kind of truth. Trying to get good enough, I'm glad he already showed me he was good enough. When he was accepted, I was too. And I challenge you, Christian, keep that kind of mind. Let this mind be in you.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
God came down in flesh, humbled himself for you. If he saved you, you're not lost. You can't be lost. God doesn't do things that way. If you're his son, you'll always be his son. If you're his daughter, you'll always be his daughter. It doesn't matter. Now, we should be the best son and daughter we can be. But don't ever base your relationship on that. Base it on what the Word said. The Word's already declared that he came and died for sinners. Of which Paul said, I am chief. I'm so grateful for Paul's example. The man that wrote what just said there. A man that could say, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. You thought it not robbery be equal to God. And in the same sentence, turn around and say, but I'm the chief of sinners. Paul wasn't trusting Paul. Paul had more to trust than all of us combined. Paul wasn't trusting Paul. Paul trusted Christ. With our heads together just for a moment. Just take a little time here. Even if you've been cut up or something by what was said, you believe it was the Word of God, all of you, God can do something like that. Spend time with me. Not your neighbor, not the church. looking at you today. You got that little thing in your heart. Talked about a lot. Say, Lord, I don't want that. I don't take that out of me, please. He will. You believe it, he will. Just let that faith come. Don't doubt it. Don't claim it again. That's usually what happens. You know, we ask, and the next thought is you're going to keep happening. Yes, that's the enemy. He's always on time. You just need to keep an eye on him. Let this come. Had a stubborn spirit, we talked about that. If you've had a prideful spirit, you have a hard time esteeming others better than you. That's the devil trying to get you lodged. Don't you pay attention. Just praise the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not going to confess that no more. I'm going to serve you the way that I know I'm supposed to. I'm going to let the mind of Christ be in me. Not to make myself of no reputation, but exalt everyone else. I want my joy to be full. Well, here's how you do it. Love one another. Hallelujah. If you have a need, you want to lift that up to the Lord. We'll pray together here. God knows your heart. I bless each one. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little time in your presence. Lord, we thank you for bringing your word to us and bringing us the truth. We see many souls led astray by all kinds of winds of doctrine, Lord. We've got a rock that we stand on, and that's you, Lord. And even when ourselves, we've struggled within ourselves, can we even stand here any longer? We look down, and it's not us holding ourselves here. It's you, Lord. You sealed us into your kingdom by the Holy Ghost. And we're so grateful you did it for us, Lord. I pray, Father, for the heart of every person that's here. Lord, if there's any callous of the enemy, if there's anything even from the past, or anything Satan's tried to place in our life, Lord, let us not take that mind. Let us take your mind. That before the foundation of the world, you ordained us as the sons and daughters of God. And we were already shouting for joy. We were already saved and sanctified. And we can live like Christ because we're a part of it. Grant to each one that's here today. I pray, Lord, that you encourage them. Lord, as their pastor, I believe them to be servants of yours. Lord, and I try to take care of them the best that I can in what you call me to do, but Lord, you're just so much better than me at it. I thank you for bringing the word today. May you nurture every sheep back to strength. If there's any sick in body, oh, may the balm of Gilead come, and may you touch each one. May their body prosper as their soul prospers, Lord. If there's anything that was cut in your heart, Lord, let it just be the word into our hearts, Father. If there's anything I've said that was wrong or wasn't pleasing to you, I pray you forgive me, Lord. I did it in ignorance. I pray for the congregation. If there's anything that wasn't the word, it wouldn't get anywhere in our minds. May it just be the word of me, flesh today. Grant to each one, we pray. More than anything, Lord, bring us closer to you. Bring us closer to one another. We know it's the same thing, Lord. Just let us be a family of God with the same mind, with the same purpose, and that's to take over this world one day, to take away all the sin, shame, and death, and destruction, and set up a kingdom in righteousness. Help us, Lord, to ever live for that, to keep our minds stayed on you, to keep our eyes as Christ was, as a flint to Calvary. May our life be just straight on the rapture, Lord, thinking of getting every soul there, never getting distracted with the cares of this life, but just preparing for that world to come. Grant to each one, we pray. Once more, those that weren't here, would you bless each one? Be with them, Lord. We commit them to you. We love them. We appreciate them. Bring them back to us safely, Father. Amen. This service, Lord, all that was said, we just put it in your hands. May it, you said your word wouldn't come void, but Lord, may it produce everything it's supposed to right now, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. I'm going to let an opportunity just for a few moments, if you like prayer, special prayer, be happy to pray with you. Let's just worship. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's just thank him for what he's done for us. Thou art worthy. give God praise. Even preached there 2 years ago or so. And at the end of the service, the Lord prophesied through me and told him of things come through and destruction of some sort. But he said the Lord will provide. He'll be there. You know, and he said you'll be fine. Those, you know, thousands will fall. I'll preserve you. He said, I'm holding you.
Amen.
And I'll share this. This isn't, I don't know if it's on the recording or not, but when I went there and preached, Josh actually came forth in prayer and the Lord spoke to him the word that he'd be with him and strengthen him. That's why we love one another. See, love will make you do things you normally wouldn't do. No, and that's why we got to get over fear and stuff. What if I'd have just been afraid and said, Lord, I don't know, maybe I'm just impressed. No, let the mind flow.
Amen.
That might be that brother's only chance to hold on. You know, I'm not talking about predestination things. I'm just talking about knowing where he stands.
Right.
I believe the Lord will be with Brother Josh.
Amen.
I believe the Lord will be with those saints there. I appreciate him. Dad's been on here too. The passion of people. Guess what? If they're Christians like you and me.
Amen.
Maybe God will use.
Yep.
Anybody loves the Lord, I love them.
Amen.
Anybody don't love the Lord, I'm still trying to love them.
Amen.
Get them in.
Yeah.
So they can go with us. Get all out of here. So remember them in prayer. Remember one another. You know, I just want to.
Yeah.
It's not a passive thing to shake everyone's hand and invite people over and things.
Right.
We're all Christians.
Right.
Love one another. You know,
Amen.
Maybe just go.
go visit
one another sometimes, it'll do way more than what you think it will. I'll tell you that right now.
Amen.
You know, we appreciate it, especially in the West, open their house. Well, I thought that was wonderful. You know, we all were able to be there. I think some were out of town and things, but it's good. That's how we come together when we love one another.
Right. Yeah.
Regardless of what you might feel.
That's it.
This thing won't load.
Right.
It'll tell you why everybody's wrong and you're right. I'm gonna tell you
it.
I'm gonna tell you, it comes behind the platform too.
Yes.
You might think I'm just saying this. I'm not saying it. It's the same battle I go through as what you go through. You know? Thoughts come through my head just the same as anyone else. You shouldn't say that because so and so. I've learned I don't trust me.
No.
If it's the word, I'm gonna say it.
Amen. Thank you, God.
But that's God.
Thank you.
And whatever God does is right. Whatever God does lasts. Whatever God does, I can put my soul on.
Right.
Amen. Is that okay to share today?
Amen.
Remember Brother Ernie as well. We sent him another love offering. I plan on hearing reports soon here. Our Brother Alexander too, I forgot about that. He's going to the police next week sometime, the 1st or 2nd, something like that. He'll be going over to the Ivory Coast, so keep him in prayer too. If it's anything like last time, he'll have a report when he gets back. So praise the Lord. So how many loves the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. So I'm going to let you worship for a little while here. I don't mean to keep blabbing on, but I just want to praise him. I just adore him. He's just so good.